Good afternoon. It's a joy to be here. You know why? Because wherever he is, I am also. Amen. And he's full of joy, right? In his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. It's not just because we have joy in him. It's because he's full of joy. And so when we're in his presence, we experience his fullness of joy. So if you find yourself joyless, that's a good sign that you're missing it somewhere. So John chapter 7 is about the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a feast that lasted a week long and sort of builds at this crescendo towards the end. And the last time Jesus was in Jerusalem, he healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda. And this is a man who had been unable to walk for 38 years. And when Jesus came to him, he asked the man if he wanted to be well. And the man's answer was, because they were there by the pool, because that's where the angel would come and occasionally stir up the waters, whoever would get in the water until the angel would depart, would get healed. And he was never able to get there in time because nobody was there to help him get in the water. And that's what he told Jesus. He said, obviously he's going like, I'm here because I want to get well, but I don't have any help and I can't get there. But the thing that we, if you remember, that was interesting about that story is that Jesus didn't use a normal word for well, for healed. He uses the word sound. He said, do you want to be sound? And then the man answers the question. And then Jesus just does what he sees the Father doing. And what he sees the Father doing, who Jesus was in union with, was to heal this man, tell him, take up your pallet and walk. Well, one, he healed a guy on the Sabbath, which is against the rules. And then the 39th rule, sabbatical rule, was you can't pick up anything and carry it. And as I've said before, there are all the Jews may not remember law number 12, but I'll remember the first one and the last one. And that's why the 39 lashes is about for all the things that you did, for breaking the law, everybody's the lawbreaker. And so the man, Jesus, after he heals the man, he backs away and disappears. And the Pharisees began to ask this man about who it was that made him well on the Sabbath. They weren't even concerned that he was well. And they weren't offended that he got well. They were offended that he got well on the Sabbath. He picked up his pallet and walked. And so he just tells him he didn't know who it was. The man just said to rise and walk. He did. Take up your pallet. He did. And then finally they disappear and Jesus shows up again and tells the man, he said, don't sin anymore, lest something worse befalls you. So we know in that particular situation, his brokenness was connected to some sin in his life. That's not always true. Now, brokenness in terms of emotional brokenness, and unless there's a real medical issue, you know, like somebody is autistic and there's just things like that going on in their life. But emotional brokenness always has a connection to our sin. You say, well, no. Things happened to me that I had no control of. People treated me this way. Yeah, but our own fallenness. See, people treated Jesus really bad too as the Son of Man, and yet he never got into all that because he didn't respond in a sinful way. And so anyway, this man, when he tells him that, obviously there was a connection that was more than just about physical healing. But there was something wrong with him, he was afflicted. But I love the fact that Jesus said, do you want to be sound? So he wasn't just talking about physical healing. He was asking the man if he wanted to be whole. And that's an inside-out issue. In this chapter 7, the scriptures that Bracken was reading, this is the first time Jesus is there in the temple area since that happened. And again, remember that Jesus is revealing to them the truth about the Father because they had a false perspective of who the Father was. And then Jesus said, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you carries out the law. That's important. Why do you seek to kill me? Jesus said, I broke one of your laws that last time. Because remember, he wasn't going to come to this feast. He came late because people were seeking to kill him there because of what happened in John chapter 5. And he said, here's the thing, that you're upset because I broke a law, but all of you who follow Moses, none of you keep the laws at all. Why? Because you can't. The laws were never meant to be kept. They were meant to reveal to you your need for a Savior. They were God's way of crowding us to Jesus so that Jesus could write the laws in our heart and supernaturally we could fulfill God's purposes. So he says, you break the law all the time, so why are you seeking to kill me? He says, the multitude said, you have a demon who seeks to kill you. And Jesus said to them, I did one deed, and you all marvel. On this account, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it was from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a person. In other words, if the eighth day of a male child falls on the Sabbath, they broke the law to fulfill the law. Because what he's trying to say, if your whole deal is about keeping laws, your own performance, you're always going to live a life of hypocrisy. Because you're always pushing the limits to see how far you can go to get away with. When you live by grace, you don't even want to get anywhere near the limit. Because you're being controlled by the love of Christ. And he says, if any man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? When I read that recently again, and then again this morning in prayer, it just reminded me of what Jesus is after. Jesus didn't just come so our sins would be forgiven. Thank God. That needed to be taken care of. Jesus didn't just come so you'd have a guaranteed place in heaven. I'm really grateful for that. Jesus came to heal the entire person. I can't find any place in Scripture when Jesus healed someone physically where it seemed that that person was left in some other broken condition. What in John, I don't know about John, there are 9 places where there's physical healing, but there's a lot of miracles that go on beyond that, like the wedding in Cana. How much healing did that bring to that young groom and bride when Jesus came and rescued them from the humiliation of running out of wine? What about the woman at the well? She didn't receive physical healing, but Jesus healed the entire woman. And the result of it was that there was revival that broke out in the Sychar. I mean, you understand that all it took was one person getting made whole to change an entire city? I believe that about Selma. As the church really begins to embrace the gospel, that what Jesus has come is to make a person whole, and the testimony of just one whole person, and their testimony isn't because they were whole because they followed some kind of psychological rule or philosophy. They were supernaturally made whole because they had an encounter with Jesus. That can change an entire city. I mean, wouldn't you love to stand in front of a congressman or a senator in Washington whose life is broken because everybody's life is broken at some level if they don't know Jesus, and simply speak what he like spoke to the woman in the well, their story, and then offer them water, eternal life, and they were totally transformed? What do you think that would do? I believe we're going to come a day when the body of Christ is going to start walking in that. But I love the fact that Jesus came to heal the entire person. In 3 John, it says this. Because you see, a matter of fact, there's a page of my Bible coming up. If somebody had to ask me, or Jesus said, well, you want your body healed or do you want your soul healed? I go, I'll take the soul thing. Because if there's rivers of living water flowing out of my innermost being, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, it's got nothing to do with whether I have a healed body or not. Life may be easier if I have a healed body, but my inner man, that's the part that's going to live forever, my soul. But I love this, is 3 John. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Wow. Jesus was saying to them, look, you guys want to kill me because I did one thing. I did one deed on a Sabbath. But you guys break the Sabbath all the time by the life that you live because you can't keep God's laws by your own performance. You can't do it in your own strength, no matter how sincere you are. The law was meant to show you your need for a Savior. And besides that, your own laws of circumcision breaks the laws of the Sabbath. And you do it all the time. And he said, and you'll break the law of the Sabbath to circumcise a boy at 8 days old. But I made an entire man whole. And you want to kill me for it. Why? Because the devil doesn't want that to happen. The devil hates it when Jesus makes people whole. Not just when they're healed physically, that certainly includes that, but when they're no longer angry or bitter or full of self-pity and anxiety and depression, no longer have to be in control and be defensive, no longer get aggravated and irritated, mock people, make fun of them, on and on and on, no longer have prejudice in their heart. All those things are the absence of wholeness, and Jesus came to make us whole. And Jesus making one whole person rocked their world. So this is what I'm praying for in my life and the life of others. Lord, we don't want to settle for kind of better. I don't want to settle for, well, it's not as bad as I used to be. I don't want to settle for, no, that he came to, he said, I healed the entire man. Holy Spirit put that there for us to understand that's what Jesus wants to do. Heal us entirely, body, soul, and spirit. Make people whole. And whole people change the world. Because that's what the whole world's looking for. The whole world's looking for in desperation. Is there a place to find wholeness? Can it be found? And that's why all the stuff goes on. All the things that are happening, that 400 different genders, because people are just throwing anything against the wall, hoping that it sticks, and it ends up them being whole. But it's only Jesus can do that. Amen? So again, he asked the question, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be sound? And I'm telling you, I'm like, two hands up. Yes, Lord, I do. That's why the little story I shared Sunday, and again, I shared a devotional the other day when I was sitting in the bleachers at a youth game, and as a woman's laughter was driving me crazy, so loud, consuming everything. And in my heart, I'm mocking, complaining, irritating, and then I start to talk to the Lord to please cause that woman. And before I could get the thing out, Jesus said, I just love the sound of human laughter in a world of fallenness and brokenness. Wow. And not just saying that, he offered me the opportunity to participate in that, to repent and have breakthrough. That's why I said, I don't have to go to a conference to get a breakthrough. They're great to go to. Here's some special deluxe speaker. I could be sitting on the bleachers at a youth baseball game and repent about something, and I join him and participate in him, and I come into a new level of wholeness. That's so fun. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.